Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to The Love Code. Thanks for joining me. This is such a wonderful opportunity for all of us, me included, and I trust everyone listening, to be inspired for today and inspired for the week, because this show is about uplifting you, it's about inspiring you, it's about healing, it's about tapping into the potential we have so we can be the very best us, and also understanding our connection to our soul and our spiritual journey. You know, this is just such an amazing opportunity for me to have these conversations with exceptional people. And I do get inspired, and I know that by participating in these conversations, everyone listening will remember more of who they are. And that's really my purpose in doing this show. I just want to say that I have a very special trip planned towards the end of this year, and I want to announce it. And that is a program that is taking a small group of people to Bhutan, October 19th to 31st. So we have 12 days going to Shangri-La. Bhutan is, you know, it's a kingdom. It's considered a kingdom. If you really don't know where Bhutan is, it's a little country, about 775,000 people between China and India. It's kind of nudged right in there. And it's an ancient people. It's an ancient culture. It's a Buddhist country, actually. Everything about Bhutan is based on Buddhism, which makes it a very unique place in the world, the only country like it in the world. And it also is a country because it imbues these values of Buddhism, the way they deal with the land, the way they deal with the arts and the culture, the way they deal with each other. They have a gross national happiness index, and that's a very high value of that country, is to improve. I think it's a 92% of people say they are happy in Bhutan. They have 1,000-year-old temples. It's just a magic place because you have part of that land that is in the Himalayas. I believe 70% of the land in Bhutan is protected. So they have amazing landscapes and amazing countryside and different types of animals that are unique to Bhutan. So it's truly an exceptional journey into another reality and into it's a spiritual awakening going to Bhutan, which is what interests me, actually. It's like stepping into another reality, stepping into another frequency that is unique in the world. So if something like that calls to you, if you are ready for an adventure, if you are ready to explore a new land, a new culture, a new you, then consider coming along to this amazing journey with me, and that's October 19th to 31st. You would want to go check it out at the website cypresshimalaya.com. That's the tour agency. You actually have to go into Bhutan with a government-sanctioned tour agency. It's a very different kind of experience because they have very limited number of visas. Less than 1 million people have ever been to Bhutan. And I'm going to be one of them. So if you would like to come along, please check out cypresshimalaya.com. There's more information about the program, the tour, all the amazing experiences that we will be having during those 12 days. We're going to be dipping into the culture from all angles and really, really having a wonderful, wonderful experience. So 2020 might be the year when you're ready for a true adventure, discovering yourself, stepping into the unknown. That's one of my themes for 2020, is stepping into the unknown and seeing what is waiting for me there. So consider being something wild and crazy and coming along with me to Bhutan. And that's October 19th. Through the 31st, and go to cypresshimalaya.com to get more information. So We're going to have a fantastic conversation today with my guest, Lotus Lindley. It is about stepping into the unknown, and we're going to be stepping into Lotus's unknown reality that is coming forth in her experience. She's the author of a book called Awakening from the Dream, a Kundalini Memoir, and it's a very fascinating journey we're going to be on today. And I just want to share a little bit about Lotus before I introduce her to the show. As a way shower, light worker, and author, Lotus Lindley assists the awakening and ascension process. As a Shakti Kundalini embodiment guide and a multidimensional healer, she channels light language activations and supports those who feel called to deepen their experiential wisdom through embodying light mentorship and yoga of the divine feminine. Lotus offers practical guidance and multidimensional methods to assist your sacred awakening journey. May your path deepen and your heart bloom as you remember and embody the divine radiance that is you. So if this sounds intriguing to you, then hang in there because we're going to have a truly enlightening conversation. So first of all, Lotus, let me have the great pleasure of welcoming you to the Love Code today.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's so fun to be here.
Well, I've been looking forward to our conversation. You have been on such an amazing journey, and you know, in talking about your biography, some of it may not really resonate with people. Like, they don't really understand what a Shakti Kundalini embodiment is. And we're going to talk about that because you have had this personal awakening from reading your book, Awakening from the Dream, that kind of came upon you and has profoundly transformed your life, but also has given you deep insight into the spiritual journey that is written about and people talk about. And, you know, we can express our desire for the spiritual journey. We can talk about these terms that have been used to try to help people guide them to an understanding. But there's a whole other thing when you have a direct experience, which is what your journey has been, a direct experience. So let's begin by sharing a little bit about yourself, Lotus, and your journey to this place.
Great, thank you. So, yes, so I was not necessarily on a spiritual journey. I was not seeking this when my awakening process started in 1996. 1996 was a bit of a foreshadowing of what was yet to come in 2001, but it definitely began to put me on a fast track. I was on, I was about 5 years sober and got very sick, kind of a mysterious illness. I'm doing little air quotes. And during that time, something massive transformed in my being, which I didn't really know at the time. I just knew when I started feeling better that everything was very different. My perceptions were a little different, and all of a sudden I started recognizing things in energetic form, which was not at all even really within my my repertoire of understanding. And over many years, I just started sort of like a sponge soaking up all different areas of consciousness, you know, starting to read spiritual books, environmental issues, and then it went into energy healing and herbalism, you know, just kind of like I just couldn't quite get enough, and I had no idea where I was going to piece all of this together, but there was also this deep trust that had begun to form that I didn't really have to know, and along this time, I also really began feeling a deep yearning for God that was very foreign to me as well. I had an understanding of God from AA, but it was pretty basic, and what was starting to call from a very deep level, a very deep soul level, was just this yearning that just kept pulling me forward. And eventually, you know, eventually I stumbled upon the big spiritual awakening of a Kundalini awakening.
Well, you know, it's always amazing to hear people's journeys and the experiences that they've had along the way that have been food for their soul, so to speak, to help them mature and open. But we talk about a Kundalini experience. That's a phrase that so many people are familiar with, but I don't think most of us really know what that means, or even fewer of us have had a direct experience. Although I have to say, and I think you observe this as well, that as I talk with people, and you know, I make these trips down to Costa Rica where I work with shaman, and people from all over the world are drawn to doing plant medicine because there is some spiritual spark that is awakening, and they're just yearning and seeking. And so there's this increased awareness growing, and meeting people who are finding their lives are changing spontaneously, and like you, suddenly wanting to read more or to be drawn to spiritual things, which they never were before. Like something's just happening inside them, and that seems to be going on more and more. But most of us, you know, when this happens, we're just like taken along on the current. We don't really know exactly where it's taking us or what it's all about. And that's part of what happened to you. These things started happening and occurring within you, and you really have no choice. You have to just go with that current.
Yeah, that is an interesting, you know, the choice piece of it. You know, I remember my mom saying to me a number of times, you know, particularly, well, definitely from 96 on, but then especially, you know, when we hit 2000 and things were kind of revving up in 2001, that she couldn't, you know, she couldn't understand why I kept making certain choices that seemed to be making my life more challenging and difficult. And I would say, you know, sometimes just so overwhelmed that, you know, if I had a choice, do you think that I would be choosing this? So there is that interesting fine line between what is our will and what is divine will, and who is really surrendering. You know, the personality surrenders, but then when the personality isn't surrendering, the soul oftentimes can really lead that river. So it's all very, you know, it's part of the mystery, right? It's just part of the mystery.
Yeah.
Where our personhood is wrapped up in divine. So, yeah.
So let's talk about Kundalini and what that is and what your experience has been, because you have been in this awakening process and so many incredible things have been happening to you, within you, that has opened up your life in ways that you probably never have imagined before. And let's start with Kundalini. Let's start with what it is and then what your experience has been with this awakening of this energy inside you.
Yeah, great. So the Kundalini energy, we can say traditionally through many of the texts, very basically, that it is this spiritual force, this spark of the divine that resides at the base of the spine. And once it is ignited, it can create, that's the path then to enlightenment, nirvana, awakening. And all traditions really have this expression. It's just less talked about. We could say in Christianity, it's the Holy Spirit. In Judaism, it is the Shekinah, but the yogic traditions really have the science of it down, which is why it goes back, you know, thousands of years, that we've got these yogis and masters that have been teaching us about energy and being present and what really these, you know, the multi-dimensional awarenesses that we can attain. So the Kundalini energy, in my path, I've always called her Divine Mother. It's a feminine force. So it's that force of creation, but it's also that force of destruction. And in textbooks, we can read that, you know, eventually she's moving up the spine. She, you know, purifies or pierces each chakra. And by the time it gets to the crown chakra, we've hit enlightenment, which sounds really beautiful and serene, and we're going to do meditation, and, you know, maybe we're going to do our hatha yoga practice and all of that, but it's much more in depth than that. And really what it is this force, once she is awakened, will literally transform all of your levels of consciousness. It is an embodiment process, so she purifies through the organs, through, you know, just anything that we're holding in our physical form, this lifetime, past lifetime, stretches our brain, you know, what we know of through the ego construct, really stretches the limits and beyond of that, so that we're able to perceive beyond the veil, I think is probably the way to put it. We're able to perceive not only this realm, but other realms. We're able to understand the programmings and conditions of our third dimensional reality, and able then to perceive that the presence of God, you know, the presence of the divine is very much alive everywhere and very much within us, within our own hearts. And probably one of the most basic ways that I tend to talk about this is, you know, one of her jobs is to clear out anything and everything that keeps us separated from knowing that God's presence is within us, and that we are also divine. And that can be a tall order when you're just saying that, right? So that is why the direct experience really sheds a whole new perspective from a deeper knowing of the reality of who we are. You know, self-realization, as Paramahansa Yogananda, you know, has named his fellowship. It's that self-realization. Who are we really? And she is a powerful path to reflect that back to us.
So let's start when, in reading your book, Awakening from the Dream, you had a Shaktipat experience. So can we talk about what that is and what happened to you? And I know,
yes,
other people who've had similar experiences. So that often happens in the presence of a spiritual aware teacher.
It does, yes. So, so I had gone to a retreat, and literally I was very, like, in my book I talk about it, I'd been doing Bikram yoga. That was my introduction to yoga, and I think I'd only been taking it for a few months, saw this teacher, it's actually Yogi Desai, saw a picture of him and just knew instantly that I needed to go see him. And when I arrived at the end of the retreat, and he'd been, you know, doing satsang and talks, and everything was just fitting together in my awareness so perfectly. It was some of the things I'd already been experiencing and learning. There were some triggers, you know, or buttons that I noticed just in the, I think it was like seven to 10 days. I don't remember how long I was there. Old triggers were just like being erased away, you know. So the presence of a guru, that a real guru has this ability to energetically really shift our entire being, and what we are holding that we're ready to release. So on the last day, he was giving a very special meditation, and I had no idea what Shaktipat was. I had no idea of what Kundalini was, none of this. And as the meditation was going, everybody was going deep, and then I could hear all sorts of noises and crying and yelling and commotion going on. And I was so curious to look, but at the same time, I was very, very pulled within my own being and having my own experiences. And my heart was opening. I was crying. There was this language speaking forth, which I later learned, you know, over a decade later learned, was what I now call light language. Was light language that was speaking through me. And at the end, I knew something had happened, but I didn't really know what. So this is the Shaktiput, back to that original question. The Shaktiput initiation is given by a guru who can transmit energy and awaken the kundalini. The degree that the kundalini will awaken will depend on a number of things. It will depend on perhaps past life experience and how far an aspirant or a devotee has already traveled a path of awakening in a previous lifetime, what their level of devotion is, how much a person can surrender. The surrender piece is huge. And again, we're not always consciously surrendering. We're doing this dance with the divine. So whether or not the kundalini is going to fully ignite, and perhaps we could say to the degree and to the strength, is going to depend on some of those elements. And as it turned out for me, I had a very strong capacity to surrender and to really connect to my soul's guidance. The devotion in me just welled up, and it was years later that I realized that I was really just remembering a life picking up from a life, a past life that I had already lived. So what was able to start channeling through me, I see now, is just me remembering what I've already known. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Yeah. From your spiritual path and past lives and what you've achieved, what you have accomplished from past life experiences. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking, I had a memory of I'm not sure who the guru was. Was it Amrit Desai that you were with?
It was Amrit Desai. Yeah.
Okay. So that's so interesting, because I'm going to tell you a story. So many years ago, really it's about 30, a long time ago. And I was invited to a friend was living in the ashram with Amrit Desai, who he had dedicated his life to, and invited me to come to his retreat center in Pennsylvania. And so I went to his retreat center, and he met me. I had been living in India, and I was back in the States, and through this friend introduced me, and he came out, Amrit Desai, came out and met me and showed me around, and then he said, well, why don't we just go meditate together? I said, yeah, sure. I mean, I was kind of, you know, I'll go along with anything, you know, and I knew he was the guru, and he was very kind and generous and said, let's go meditate, and I go, oh, okay, I'll go meditate, and I sat with him in his meditation room, and it was an experience of where my mind, it's probably the only real time since then that my mind was silent. And I was just thinking about this actually the other day, that it's like that memory came back to me, that of that event where I sat with him, just the two of us. And it was like my mind was like this calm lake. I had no thoughts. I mean, it was it gave me that experience, or it brought back the memory, since we've been meeting and we've had a conversation before the show, brought back that memory, which I had forgotten about. I've had that experience of having this quiet, still. It was no thoughts. I have not actually been able to get back to that place since, that I can remember. You know, I've been to different places, but not to that place of such absolute stillness that there is not a ripple in one's mind of a thought, which was so powerful, so powerful to know what that's like.
Yes, and I have this huge smile on my face right now, just, you know, imagining you all those years ago, meeting him, and just what an honor and a privilege, you know, to have that time with him. And just, yeah, to have that, to be in that kind of presence, right?
Yeah.
Where that we can have that, it can have that effect over us. It's pretty amazing.
It was really amazing. It was totally amazing to have that experience. So it's just so interesting you bring that back up in this conversation of Amritasai. What a coincidence.
That's right.
Yeah, what a coincidence. So, okay, let's go back to you. So, so something happened in the presence of the guru that reconnected you with yourself, with a memory of who you really are.
Yes.
And isn't that what the journey is about? You know, what is the spiritual journey that people are drawn to? You know, it's not about chanting, and it's not about doing yoga. It's, you know, what is it that people are really seeking? What is it that's drawing us? What's the light that we're, you know, so metaphorically, you know, drawn to as that moth to the flame? So what has it been for you? What does it mean for you in the experiences that have happened since that Shaktipat experience?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. I mean, that's such a good question, because I don't even know if I can answer exactly what it means to me. For me personally, there is just an unrelenting, constant drive to always go deeper, always shed more layers of who and what I think I know about myself or what reality is. I mean, even though I've had so many peaks into a lot of different arenas, and, you know, on a frequency level, you know, the frequency has risen to allow me to maintain higher, you know, higher states, meaning, you know, I can be happier more. I'm not as triggered. I don't get pushed around as much by my thoughts and my beliefs and my attachments and all of that. But I find that there's just this continual desire and devotion to keep going deeper into my own holiness, and wholeness is kind of how I feel when I'm in that place. It's like we are holy and whole just as we are, and it's just that we have forgotten, and this is what continually drives me forth. I continually strive to, you know, be drawn like that moth to the flame. How do I experience more love? How do I know more love? How do I trust in more love? How does the divine show up in all of these concepts that we talk about? How do I know that presence personally within my own being? And again, there are those moments when that deep peace or the blissful, ecstatic periods of time come, the buoyancy, but then there's also the fires, you know, that don't seem to derail my desire, because I recognize now all these years later that for every depth that I've had to go, I can then sail to a new height. And it's like my baseline of perception and reality changes. And that's just what, it's like really the soul just keeps me going, and the highest self consciousness keeps pulling me forward. And I don't have any answers to that. You know, I just follow the heart. I follow my body awareness. The embodiment process of a Kundalini path, and again, a Shakti Kundalini path, which is very different than the Yogi Bhajan path of Kundalini, which a lot of times is practiced within the yoga studios. And that's a powerful path in and of itself, but that is also one that works with techniques, and if there's a container. The Shakti tradition does not necessarily have a container. It's really the divine feminine, that feminine essence is the lead, and the heart follows. And I think, you know, Cheryl, it's the way in which the mystics and the poets of ancient times, you know, they never could really put anything in linear logical terms, right? It's like we just follow the dance, because it's really hard to put into a regular concept. So I don't even know really what keeps me going. I just keep following.
I think it's so hard to talk about things like this, because without direct experience, it doesn't really make sense. You know, truth of the matter is,
right.
I mean, doing plant medicine, having an experience when you're working with something like ayahuasca, that it has this DMT that opens up the, you know, pineal gland and lets you access different states of consciousness. How can you possibly understand that if you don't go through it yourself? And it's
exactly
true with any spiritual awakening, right? I mean, it's like,
right,
you talk about it, but, you know, the menu's not, the map is not the territory, as we say,
right,
in NLP, right? The map is not the territory.
Right.
You have to, you know, delve into it. But we have to talk about it, because it leads us to an experience. And, you know, if you didn't have books to read, you wouldn't be able to find the path for you. So there, you know,
right,
it's, you know, all that stuff has its place. But ultimately, you know, what was Jimi Hendrix's term? You have to be experienced.
Yeah, right. And are you experienced? You have to be experienced.
Are you experienced, right?
Right.
So.
Right.
So you've had so many experiences. So I want to ask you, so this Shakti tradition, and when you've had a memory of the past, so what was the past that you remembered that you were bringing forth into the present?
So I've had different clearings, literally sort of, they come out of my body. It's kind of hard to explain. Like, say I've got a holding in my hamstring, for instance, and, when I go to work with it, and when I say work with it, it's not really me who's working with it, because the Shakti works through the body. This path works through spontaneous movement. So I sort of let go and give this divine force the space to move me in precisely the right ways that she needs me to move in order to clear and heal different perceptions, beliefs, feelings, emotions. And so some of that has been past life stuff. So I've had some memories of being one, for instance, I didn't really know exactly all of the circumstances surrounding it, but I was up on this very tall, sort of a darkened mountaintop, and I didn't look like I was dressed in anything that I have seen necessarily in any pictures that I've seen, but I could tell that the person that I was grieving a great deal of harm that she had caused. And so as I got this image, my being started grieving this very deep grief that didn't even feel like mine, that I couldn't explain the whys and the hows, but I knew that something was leaving me that I had been carrying for a very long time. So that's kind of how it can happen through an image. But I've also had the experiences of things moving through, literally out through my body. Like at one point, I was going through a deep heart purification. And so as Divine Mother is what I always called her, was sort of massaging my heart muscle. And this is why my book, why I love my book and why I chose to do it in this way, because It gives as close to a visceral experience as we can get without going through it all personally. And as it was moving my heart muscle around and sort of through my heart chakra, I started feeling kind of this nausea moving out. I started feeling panicky because I didn't really know what was happening. And at this time, I was connected psychically to my guru, Guru Dev, Yogi Desai. I was connected to him, and his voice was just very calmly letting me know that it was okay, keep breathing, that I was only releasing what I'd already had inside of me, and it was time to let it go. So the range varies through the experiences of, what that really looks like and how we can tap into the past life knowing. The fact that, throughout the book, there's a big struggle that I talk about anything related to the feminine, goddess, imagery, the word, even priestess, imagery or the word. So for me, what that started making me recognize down the road was that those were aspects of me from past times that I was still very resistant to. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So they were just showing up, as I would be called to certain things, but then I would also have this repelling and this deep resistant just tendency that eventually I overcame. But it's those ways that we get peeks into the bigger scope of our existence. Sometimes those things we're compelled towards or that we vehemently resist. So those were also some examples that stood out to how I was connecting to past timelines, past life experiences. And some things would just rise through in my awareness through the inner vision and move out. Most of them that moved out, were things that were clearing. And then there were the things that remained but took on more of an embodied, deeper wisdom experience and knowing and grounding that gave me an indication that there was some wisdom that I already knew that I was now integrating on a deeper level that wasn't necessarily of my, my personality here and now.
So it is that thinning of the veil and mm-hmm. being able to step back into other dimensions and retrieve learnings, wisdom, knowledge.
Right.
From somewhere else in time. Somewhere else in time. It's so intriguing. I mean, the whole subject is so intriguing because there's, so much more than getting stuck in this third dimensional reality that most of us live in, but it's really the illusion that we're trying to wake up from. So let's talk about ascension, because you talk a lot about ascension and you work with people who are going through this awakening process. What is that? What does that mean?
So for me, the way that I'm holding it, perceiving it, experiencing it, is it's definitely a continuation of our consciousness expansion. And, you know, I sort of talk about now that the Kundalini piece was very individual, right? For thousands of years, we've got the secret mystical practices. They were kept secret for a long time because this force was not quite ready, because the frequency or the vibration, the frequency of our world wasn't ready for the majority of people to awaken. And so there was only the few that were able to raise that energy in their body enough to do it. So thousands of years later, we're in this time of mass awakening, right? We're in this time of what now I say ascension. Ascension is for the collective, whereas the Kundalini was for the individual, and even though it's interchangeable, it just breaks it down to make it a little clearer. And ascension is this continual process now where we have, all of us, have much more ease and grace and opportunities to awaken this energy within us. And it's not going to be, most likely for the majority, quite as dramatic or fiery as perhaps it had been before, I'd say like 2012, really, and definitely, you know, going back hundreds of years, of where we are able to move from the third dimensional reality into the fifth dimensional reality and beyond. So the third dimensional reality is based on what's physical, what we can touch, see, taste and smell. It's duality, it's polarity, it's up, down, you know, us against them, black and white. Whereas when we start getting into the fourth dimension, that's where there's still polarity and duality, but there is the, you know, what we might call disembodied spirits. There are elementals. There's, you know, elemental spirits and forces. There's more access into the unseen realms that we might call ghosts, and, you know, positive and negative exist in the fourth dimension. And then as we hit the 5D and up, we're going into unification. So we cannot take our third dimensional baggage, the lower frequencies that keep us stuck, as you were saying, Cheryl, to the 3D reality, to fear, the primary emotional states, we could say, or frequencies are the fear, control, scarcity, grief is a big one. You know, so those, hate, anger, right? All of those, they're very dense. And so they lodge in the body in a very dense way. And we cannot take that density up into the 5D, which resonates at frequencies of love and forgiveness and joy and peace. So more and more people now are starting, as we go through this awakening process, you know, we're starting to clear collectively, and we can look around at the landscape of, you know, the climate of our nation politically, religiously, health in the health field. All of the old systems are crumbling because they don't work anymore, because our perceptions and our consciousness are expanding and changing so rapidly that that we're just not going to be the same as we've been. But this also happens through the body. So what used to be termed Kundalini symptoms, right, which might be heat in the body, or, you know, the brain doesn't work very well at certain periods of time. It might be shocks of energy through the body. It might be certain, you know, I don't want to say psychosis, but, you know, certain kind of psychotic episodes that used to be given terms, and that still may be it, but now what we recognize is that when our brain is shifting spiritually, it might not look very stable, and it might look like it has, you know, symptoms of other conditions. So now all of that is being called ascension symptoms. And I've even talked to younger generation, which is fascinating to me, because I have always tended to be a little bit of a purist and a little bit of a traditionalist until I started speaking light language, which really got me on the ascension track. But the spontaneous movements that I've always called, you know, Divine Mother or the Shakti movement or even physical Kriyas, the younger generations who aren't familiar with that path at all, who are primarily more in the ascension track, they are now calling the spontaneous movements a form of light language, which I found fascinating. And I was a little... I was very resistant to it at first, but now I understand that it's the continuous thread from sort of an old way of looking at it into where we're going now as the future of humanity, as we are evolving as a species through the ascension process, which is always what the Kundalini was as well, but it wasn't talked about as much. I think Gopi Krishna talked about it some in his book, Kundalini, the Evolutionary Energy of Man, I think is what the title was. But now we know that as a species within the ascension communities that we are evolving. So that's kind of how I hold the ascension piece.
So two things come to mind. First of all, it has been predicted through so many traditions that we are in a time when there is a massive awakening of humanity to their true spiritual nature. So that is often referred to as ascension. There are other terms that people use, but basically it's reconnecting to our souls, to our real spiritual essence. And those qualities that you talked about of love and compassion and gratitude and peace and healing are all part of working with those frequencies of this evolved or, you know, elevated state of consciousness that we are, you know. So this is what's happening at this point in time, as has been predicted for thousands of years. It's kind of pretty overwhelming to think we have chosen to come in at a time when there is a profound transformation happening to humanity.
Absolutely.
Huge remembrance, right, of who we are.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to ask you, Lotus, is what do you offer people who suddenly find themselves feeling so different? You know, they don't have the same desires to go out, party, and drink, and all of a sudden they're drawn to these books or to meditation or just, you know, feeling like something has changed within them. I know you have a practice and you help people and support people who are suddenly doing things that they don't understand, which is part of what's so scary. The mind can't make sense of a lot of what's happening.
Right.
What's your recommendation to people who may be listening and find some of these, you know, changes are occurring for them?
Yeah, that's, well, I think one of the biggest things, right, is to finally have somebody you can talk to about it and to be really open about it and to have somebody be able to not only understand but relate and maybe even share, you know, an experience or two that reflects what they are going through. I think that is, I've had so many people that just that conversation starts to enable them to feel safe again. And I really just work with people where they are at. I have some fundamental things that I work with. I always work with light language because that is something that starts to align us, body, mind, heart, and soul, with the process that's happening. foundationally, I do work with meditation, with really being able to anchor within the technique. We can always, I like to switch it up so that I don't believe one size fits all for everybody, so that each person can really start to tap into their own inner awareness and their own inner silence and begin to know their own inner energy field and their own energy signature and that communication that comes from one's own soul connection. I work a lot with self-love, self-acceptance, inner child work, the shadow work, because I find that most people who are just starting to go through this process, the healing component is really to work with those root issues of the inner child and our shadows, those parts that we have shame and fear and guilt that we don't really like to acknowledge, get all of that out in the open and begin to identify and clear it rapidly. You know, in the past, we used to maybe have to do a lot more digging. It's much faster now with some of the meditation techniques, with the energy work of the light language, with really tapping into the body is a huge one. If people are going through, I always do an assessment actually to see where, because I can kind of tell if the Kundalini is moving through people. And so I like to have an idea of where that is. And then there's always an option to work with that energetically. If, you know, it's not for everybody, but if somebody wants to go that route because it's very quickened, the process is very grounding. It really anchors us into the multidimensional understanding of who we are. And
so Lotus, wait, I just want to jump in. What are some of the symptoms of people who are starting to make a shift of consciousness? You can call that the ascension process, you can call it spiritual awakening, but it's really a shift of consciousness. They're connecting with an aspect of themselves that are, you might say, it's their soul or their true nature. What are some of the symptoms that people may have occurring that is indicating something is going on? And it's good, you know, to know that it's a profound thing that's happening, not to be scared or not to think you're crazy.
Right. So some of the things that start to happen that are happening more and more, actually, is that people are starting to see things that aren't necessarily always there. Some people are starting to hear guidance, which if they don't know that they're receiving guidance, they think they're just hearing voices, and it can be alarming for sure. Physically, the body, you know, there's a lot, and Cheryl, you probably have seen or heard a lot of people talk about this as well. There's a lot of foggy headedness that's going on right now. There's a lot of confusion. People are not able to think straight. Memory is becoming a very big problem. And I have so many people that are afraid they're having Alzheimer's and, you know, or they're getting checked even at very young ages. So our brain faculties literally are changing right now. The right and left hemispheres are going through recalibrations, so that can be alarming for people. The ears ringing. This is one of the first things that starts to happen is people start to think they have tinnitus because there is a nonstop ringing in the ears that often will start with the right ear, or predominantly it will be noticed in the right ear. Diet can start to go through a lot of changes. Some people will gain weight even though nothing has changed in their eating habits. Some people will lose weight fairly rapidly even though nothing has changed. Temperature can be a big thing. Shooting, like literally like shooting bolts that feels like it's electricity shooting through their body. Meditators who are already meditating will have maybe a propensity to find out that they feel dizzy a lot. Well, dizziness is huge. The dizziness and vertigo piece also can be a big indicator. Sitting in meditation, rocking, standing, maybe maybe somebody is doing yoga at a yoga studio, and if there's pausing in between the postures, the body starts to sort of, feel off balance, so people try to control that. And that's actually one of the first kind of assessments that I do to see if the Kundalini is starting to move and is moving, because then that can start to explain a lot of things right away. So those strange dreams, numbers, numbers is a big thing. The number sequences, a lot of people, this is becoming very common, the 1111, 222, 333. I just looked at the clock, that's what reminded me of, and it's a 232. So the numbers will switch up sequences. And all of these things, if you have no idea what is going on, they can be a little disorienting. And flus, ascension flus, when people feel like, they're having they feel like they're sick, but yet it's not really like any other sickness. That is becoming more and more common because you're really just going through a clearing. And there was one more that I was going to say, and I can't remember. So there's a very long list. Yeah.
And I can appreciate that. People could be really scared when some of these symptoms happen, and they, because our mind tries to make sense, and there is fear, like, maybe there's, I'm hearing voices, and, this schizophrenia is showing up, or the dementia, or some unknown disease. It's when you step out of the unknown and start opening up to these energies and clearing, allowing more higher frequencies to come in, you have to clear the lower frequencies, open up. I mean, if you're on your own, if you don't have a reference point, it's really tough. So I guess that brings me back to your book, so people can get a copy of your book. It's really a fascinating read called Awakening from the Dream, and people can learn more about you. Or do you consult over the phone?
I do. Definitely, yes. Okay. I would set up an appointment via email, and then we could definitely set up. I do prefer to talk, over the phone, or I even do Skyping for consultations. That can be really helpful, too.
Okay, so people can go to your website, which is lotuslindley.net, lotuslindley.net, and be able to find out more about you and make contact with you if they want some assistance, guidance, counseling. That'd be it's a great service to offer people. So it's been such a fascinating conversation. We've come to the end of the show. So thank you, Lotus, for sharing your journey and helping us to understand and be inspired as we move through this ascension process, which is destined to be happening now, and we are all here part of it. So thank you for sharing with us, and the wonderful book you've written, and the journey you are on. And
thank you so much, Carol.
You're so welcome, and thank you all of my listeners who are joining me on this journey every week. Remember, I have another show every Thursday, What Women Must Know. Just like me on my Facebook page, What Women Must Know, and you'll get them all. And we've come to the end, so I wish you a week filled with love, peace, and harmony. Bye for now.